Very good evening to all dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So we thank our Lord and our Savior for giving yet another opportunity to study about his wonderful words. And last week we studied many important points regarding three world. The third world, we have studied how the third world is the kingdom of Christ that is going to be established on earth. And Brother Gopal has also revised it in Nepali language. So today, we are going to see another important topic from the Bible. And that is, you see, one of the verses which our Christ spoke. So let us read that verse, Matthew 7, chapter 13 and 14.
Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Very good. So here Jesus speaks about a straight gate and a broad gate. So he speaks about the two ways here. So Jesus tells that there is a broad way and there is a narrow way. So he says that there is a broad way that leads to destruction, and the narrow way leads to life. So dear brethren, so these are the two ways that is before mankind. And they have to choose in which way they have to walk. So generally, everybody think that as on regarding this broad way and narrow way, that they have to choose it after death. So that once a man dies, his soul will be going on the way to heaven or hell. And that is the time that he will be, need to take a decision on which way to walk, either on the broad way or on the narrow way. But if you see this verse, Jesus did not tell these words to any dead people in this world. You see, he was telling to the living people. So this is applicable to the people who are living now. And this way has to be chosen when someone is alive in this world. He says there is a broad way and there is a narrow way. So where does the broad way go to? Can anybody tell me? Where does the broad way go to? And where does the narrow way go to? Anybody?
To the life.
Okay. Broadway? What about the Broadway? Tell me, brother. Tell me, Joel, brother.
Maybe hell.
Maybe hell. Okay, good. So generally, that is the thought. Everybody, you see, as soon as they read this verse, immediately they picturize in the mind that Broadway will go to hell and the narrow way will go to heaven. But if you read that verse carefully, Jesus never mentioned a word about hell or heaven there. But he rather says that the Broadway goes to destruction and the narrow way goes to life. So today we're going to see what is that destruction which the broad way leads to, and what is the life that the narrow way leads to. Here, the destruction mentioned about the broad way, is it speaking about the financial destruction? Is it speaking about an accident some person faces in his life? And is handicapped, or is he speaking about the educational failure, or is he speaking about the very old age problems, or is he speaking about some drastic health issues or love failure or marriage failure? None of this, dear brethren. This is speaking about none of this destructions, because the verse clearly tells that the broad way leads to destruction. That means the end of that way is destruction. So If you think and if you see, which is the end in everybody's life, if you see, that is death. So death, you see, is the end in everybody's life. Therefore, this Broadway goes to destruction, means destruction completely in death. Let us read Proverbs 14:12, brother. Can anybody read, brother? Proverbs 14:12, brother.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Very good. See, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. That's what Jesus said. There is a broad gate and a wide gate. Many are walking in it, and that leads to destruction. You see? So many are seeing this broad way, and that seems to be very right for every person. But what does the Bible say? The end of that way, you see, the last point of that way is death. Therefore, the destruction which Jesus is here speaking is about death. Therefore, you see, many people tell, no, life is very short, make it sweet. You see, it's very short. Man reaches the point of death very soon. This is the way of enjoyment. This is the way of selfishness. This is the way of selfishness and pleasure. You see? And who was the one who inaugurated and walked in this Broadway? If you see, it was our first parent and the first man, Adam. Adam was the one who walked in this Broadway of destruction, which leads to death. It took him nearly 930 years, you see, to reach his end, death, dear brethren. You see, so it took him 930 years to reach death, the ultimate, the end of that, you see, Broadway, dear brethren. And through Adam, we all know, yesterday did it in the ransom class, that all mankind are walking in that Broadway. And the Broadway, you see, has become so smooth and so slippery that it took Adam 913 years. But now mankind is so fast that they walk and cover this way at just in a period of 50 years, 60 years, 30 years. What? Why? Why? What is the reason for it? What is the reason that mankind are walking in the Broadway that leads to death? You see, it is sin. Okay, now what is sin? You see, we also observed in a meeting in Nepal, a person asked, a pastor asked, what is sin? You see, what is sin? What is the definition of sin as per the Bible? Let us read 1 John 5:17, brother. 1 John 5:17, brother. Can anybody read, brother? 1 John 5:17.
All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death.
All unrighteousness, everything violating God's law is unrighteousness, and that is called as sin. Okay, you see, man, the first man, Adam, was the one who violated God's command. God told him to eat freely of all the, you see, trees of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But God forbade him to eat one tree, you see. And he told, if you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. Adam violated God's commandment and he ate the fruit. And because of the sin, what happened? Death entered into the world. So it is because of one man that sin and death came into this world. Let us read Romans 5:12, brother. It is given in Romans 5:12. Romans 5th chapter, 12th verse.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Very good. You see, wherefore, as one man, by one man sin entered into the world, and you see, and death, because of that sin entered into the world. And God passed this death penalty upon everybody, for all were condemned in Adam. Dear brethren, you see, sin. What is sin? We just now saw that any violation of God's commandment is a sin. So, take for example, stealing, theft, you see, robbery, all these are sin. Even if you steal a few groundnut, it is sin. Even if you steal an elephant, that is also sin. See, in God's scale of justice, everything is the same. Let the sin be very small, let the sin be very big, everything is same in God's sight, dear brethren. And even telling lies, you see, that is also sin. Can we tell lies? No. Because the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. Let us read John 8:44, brother. John 8:44.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
He is a liar, and he is the father of it. He is the one who invented lies, dear brethren. So, anybody speaking lies, automatically, they are the children of the devil. Okay. Now, if you see, in the Garden of Eden, he was the one who spoke the first lie to Mother Eve and deceived Mother Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. You see, and today, you know, dear brethren, mankind today speaks nearly more than 250 lies per day. Average, mankind, you see, a man speaks more than 250 lies per day. You might wonder whether is it possible to speak 250 lies? It's not at all possible. Yes, sir. You see, you go to any business or any market, anything, lies. They'll tell, oh, sir, this is the best product I'm having in the market. I have imported specially for you. These are lies. If you go to the market, we will ask, what is the cost of onion? He will tell 20 rupees. Then we'll tell? We'll bargain. No. How come you're telling 20 rupees? Your neighbor is giving for 15 rupees. We'll negotiate. That is all lies. You see, when a mother is feeding the children, you see, the small child, what does she tell to the child? Eat the food, or else what will happen? Police will come and catch you. That is also lies. And imagine, if you go to some brother and house and they are eating their dinner, they're having their lunch or dinner. If they invite us for lunch or dinner, immediately what will you tell? No, you have it, please. I just now finished everything and came. And in case, even if we eat also, even if the food is not so good, what will he tell? Oh, sister, excellent food. Sister, how did you prepare it? Really, it's very delicious. I never had such a food. You see, dear brethren, such type of lies, if you see, man speaks more than 250 lies. These are all leading mankind into the path of sin and death. Today, sinful activities have become so rapid, widespread in the world that the smoking, drinking, these are all considered as a status quo. These are all a dignity in the society. You see, nowadays the parents join together with the family and drink. Why? No status of the society. You see, that means that they're very dignified family. And regarding love and affairs and all, you see, now even as a child is going to the school, you'll be having all this knowledge. But in the Bible, they used to have that knowledge in very old days, dear brethren. So, because of this sinful activities, what has happened? There is a lot of, death in this world. Therefore, you see, dear brethren, from Adam till Moses, you see, there was no law at all. And God gave the law to the Moses. Through Moses, God gave the law. And from this broad way, God showed a way to escape to the people of the world. You see, and that was the law. If anybody kept the law, they could have lived perfectly without dying in this world. Let us read Leviticus 18:5. Leviticus 18:5, brother.
You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord.
He shall live by them. If any man keep my status, he shall live. That means there is no chance for a man to die at all. There is no possibility of death at all. So, but the condition was that they have to keep every law, not to break a single law. So law was a way to life, but nobody could achieve the way to life through the law because they were already sinners. You can't tell a sinner to not sin. You see, that was violation of God's law. Therefore, you see, by the law, none could be justified. Let us read Romans 3:20 with that. Romans 3:20.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
See, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. So nobody can be justified. There is no way to escape from Broadway by the law. It was, you see, useless. Therefore, God sent Jesus Christ. If there was a way to escape for mankind from the law, then Jesus came in vain. Read Galatians 2:21. Galatians 2:21.
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
You see, if righteousness came by the law, if there was a way, you see, of life by the law, if anybody could have achieved it, then that means the death of Christ was waste. If Christ has died, that is a proof that the law could not justify anybody. Therefore, God himself opened a new way through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that way is the narrow way. Let us read Hebrews 10:20. Hebrews 10:20. Anu, sister, Romy, sister, can you read? Okay, anybody else can read?
By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh.
See, a new living way, the narrow way leads to life. That new living way was opened by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how? It says, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We all remember, you see, when Jesus died on the cross, what happened? The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. What does it signify? So no one was able to actually go into the most holy. But by the death of Jesus, by the sacrifice of his body, by tearing his body, by pouring his blood, you see, the mankind could get access to the Heavenly Father. Dear, a life-giving way was opened only after the death of Jesus Christ. Therefore, what does the Bible say? Enter you into the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, have you ever wondered, now why did God open a narrow way going to life? You see, and opened a broad way going to destruction? Will anybody do that one? Like, for example, imagine somebody has to prepare an express highway leading to the capital city of our country. Will they make a road as very narrow so that only few can find it? No, dear brethren. As many people are traveling on that way will be, you see, very wonderful. You see, so they may go, you see, and attain life, isn't it? They may go comfortably and reach the destination. But if you see some village side road and all, how it will be? It will be a kacha road. It will not be a, you see, perfect road. It will be a narrow way. You see, full of stones, pebbles, all those things and all. Then, why did God do that one? Why did God open a broad way going to death? And why did he open a small and a very narrow way going to life? So that only few can find it. Why? If you need to understand and seek the answer for this one, you see, dear brethren, we need to understand what is the meaning of the life that is mentioned here. We need to see what is this life that narrow way leads to. You see, dear brethren, if you see life, you see, in the creation of God, there are various, you see, levels of life. For example, the mankind, human beings are there. Human beings are created on the earthly level, having a fleshly body. You see, dear brethren, that is a fleshly level. That is life. There is life. Human life is there. But below to human life, there is something called as animal life also. That is also got life. But that is different compared to the human life. Still, if you come lower, there is, you see, plant and trees. Even those things have life. That is a vegetation life. So, these three levels of life also are different. But yet, there is only one life. Even similarly, if you go high above human beings, there are angelic nature. So angels also have life. We read last week, no? The angels are made a little bit higher than human beings. Human beings are made a little bit lower than the angels. So angels are above human beings. That is also life. If you still go higher, there are chief angels, archangels in the Bible, dear brethren. So above the angels are archangels, but above all this creation, above all this life, there is one supreme life, that is the life of our Almighty God. The life of our, you see, supreme God. You see, the Bible, when it speaks about eternal life, this is speaking about the life which God Himself is having. Like, for example, dear brethren, see, there is sun. When the sunlight falls on various items, you see, various, you see, reflections come into effect. If it falls on a stone or a brick or a rock, you see, it reflects the properties and the capabilities of a rock. But if the same sunlight falls on a tree and plants, it gives forth fruits and vegetables. This one, the stone can't do it. But yet it is light. Similarly, if this sunlight falls on a diamond, the diamond will sparkle like a light itself. It will sparkle like a diamond itself. You see, it will sparkle brighter than the sun itself. Does it mean that the diamond itself is the source of light? No, dear brethren. So similarly, it is only one source of light, but falling on different, you see, particles. Similarly, it is only one source of life, that is God. And He has given life to various levels of animals. Dear brethren, when Jesus was speaking in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, that narrow way leads to life, He was speaking about this life, the life which God Himself is having, the life above all the life of immortality, the life where death is no possibility at all. And Jesus was the one who first walked on this narrow way and attained this immortal life. Dear brethren, Jesus did not have this immortal life before He came to this earth. You see, He got this immortal life only after proving His faithfulness to God. You see, dear brethren, Therefore, if Jesus was immortal, think, imagine, you see, how could Jesus die on the cross? You see, Jesus could not die on the cross at all. You see, let us read John 5:26.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself.
For as the Father hath life in himself. See, Father is having life within himself, immortal life. He is not dependent upon anybody for life. Similarly, he has given the Son to have this life within himself. He did not have it. He was given the opportunity, dear friend. If Jesus was immortal, how can he die on the cross? His death on the cross itself is a proof that Jesus was not immortal at all. And Jesus attained his immortality only after proving his faithfulness to God until death. You see, let us read in Revelation 1:18, brother. It's given in Revelation 1:18. Revelation, 1st chapter, 18th verse. Joel, brother, can you read, brother? Joel, brother, Revelation 1:18.
I am he that he lived and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
See, I am he that liveth and was dead. That means he was dead. He did not have immortality. But now he liveth. He is alive for evermore. Now he is having the immortality, dear brethren. Therefore, Jesus, to attain this immortality, had to prove his faithfulness to God until death on the cross. You see, dear brethren, Jesus now is giving this opportunity to attain that immortal life as Jesus attained, you see, to the faithful church. He is giving the same opportunity to us, you see, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Let us read 1 Peter 2:21, brother. 1 Peter 2:21.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps.
You see, Christ left us example that we should follow in his steps. So therefore, dear brother, Jesus was the first person to walk in this narrow way and to attain heavenly salvation, to attain the life of immortality in the heavenly, you see, nature, in the spirit nature. Therefore, last week we clearly studied, no man has attained to heaven. That's the reason none of the people in the Old Testament could go to heaven. Because Jesus was the example. He was the one who inaugurated that way. So, without the leader going, without the example going, how can we go before him to heaven? Dear brother, and so Jesus was the first one to walk on it. And God has promised the same reward to us, dear brother, if we are faithful. Let us read a few verses regarding that one. 2 Peter 1:4, then next Romans 2:7, then Revelation 3:21.
Whereby are given unto us existing great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Whereby is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that you may be partakers of the divine nature. God has given us the opportunity to be partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature means what? The nature which God himself is having. A nature where there is no death. There is no dependent that you need to be on anybody for life. There is nothing you need to depend upon to sustain your life. It is a life within yourself. This opportunity God has given to the church only now. Only in this gospel age. Now let us read Romans 2:7.
To them who by patient continuance in well doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life.
See? Glory, honor, immortality. Who seek immortality? Dear friend, immortality. Those who seek, this is the reward for the church. No possibility of death at all. What is the condition? Revelation 3:21, brother.
To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am sit down with my Father in his throne.
You see, to him that overcometh, if he faithfully overcome, you see, what will be the reward for us? He shall grant to sit with Jesus along with him on the same throne, dear friend. So we need to overcome. This is the special reward given for the church, the faithful followers of Jesus, only those who walk in the footsteps of Jesus, dear friend. And imagine to sit with our Lord along with him on the same throne and rule with him for 1,000 years. Is it so easy? No, dear brother, we have to prove our faithfulness till death. Therefore, the narrow way is made narrow. Why? Because the reward is such a reward. It is immortality. There's no possibility of death. Even if you want to die, you can't die. You see, dear brother, God, even though he has the power to destroy, he won't destroy. Because that is the power of the immortal nature. So therefore, before giving any reward to any person, God wants them first to be thoroughly tested. Hence, this way is made very narrow. You see, very narrow. What did the Bible say? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. You see, many don't find it. Only few find it. Only few can seek it, and not everybody can completely go and complete it. There are only few people. Therefore, in this narrow way, there will be lot of trials, lot of temptations. You need to overcome and fight. What did Jesus say? Revelation 3:21. Even as I have overcome, if you overcome, I will grant you to sit along with me on the same throne. So we need to overcome as Jesus overcome. So therefore, imagine, did Jesus have trials in his life? Yes. So similarly, we will also have trials in his life. We can't, escape and go to heaven on bed of roses. Read Acts 14:22, brother.
Confirming the soul of the disciples and exhausting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
Through much tribulation, we should enter into the kingdom of God. We can't go to the kingdom of God on the bed of roses. Comfortable, luxury living. No. Through much tribulation, underline it. They should be testing. They should be trials. They should be chiseling. They should be purification for the church. Then only God can give this reward. Imagine if somebody is studying doctor or engineering, will they get the certificate just like that? Day and night they need to read. They need to sit and read day and night, put a lot of efforts, sacrifice a lot of things. Similarly, read John 16:33, brother.
These things have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
What did Jesus say? In this world you shall have tribulation. Not that you might have tribulation. You will have tribulation, definitely. Not that you might come, it might come, don't worry, nothing will happen. No, no, no. 100% surety. You shall have tribulation in this world. You see, but no need to fear. No need to fear at all. Jesus, what did he say? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I will help you. What did he say? I will be with you till the end of this world. Don't worry. But this faith we need to have. Read 1 Corinthians 10:13, brother. 1 Corinthians 10:13.
There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted about that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Very good, Anushtar. See? No need to worry when temptation comes. This is all common. It should all come for God's children. But God is faithful. As the temptation is coming, as the trials are coming, as the troubles are coming, He will make a way out of all these things to your brethren. So we need to have faithful. You see, we need to be faithful to God until death. And only those who are going to be faithful to God until their death, you see, only for them, God will give a reward of life, immortal life on the divine nature, and they shall rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Read Revelation 26, brother. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Munna, brother, can you read? Sorry, Munna, sister.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. You see, they shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection of the church, the first fruits. They shall reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Therefore, you know, how will they be resurrected? They will be resurrected in a glorious spiritual body. The example for us is given in, you see, Acts of the Apostles, Apostle Paul. When he was on the way to Damascus, he saw Jesus Christ brighter than sun at noonday. And what happened? His eyes was blinded. Similarly, the same nature God is going to give to the faithful church. Imagine what a great opportunity. Can we ever imagine to be equal with Jesus and sit along with him on his throne and rule for 1,000 years? This is the reward for the church, dear brother. Read 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. Anil, brother, can you read? Anil Magar.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and in doth of yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
We shall see him as he is. The same reward I is going to give to the church. So, this narrow way is now open. He's still selecting the church. But once the church is completed, this narrow way shall be closed. When it will happen? It will happen at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, he is going to close this narrow way. Then what about the people of the world? You see, many, all the people are walking this broad way, but only few people are escaped in the narrow way. But all, what about the rest of the world who are walking in this broad way? Is God not made any plan for them? Is there no any plan of salvation? Yes, dear brethren, there should be a plan. Jesus instructed that a man, before building a tower, he need to first sit and calculate the cost. If God himself has advised somebody to sit and calculate the cost and lay the foundation for building a tower, then he himself would have implemented it. Before laying the foundation for this earth, he would have definitely made a plan. He would have counted everything. Yes, God made a plan. Yes, God has made a plan. That's what we've been studying so many days. John 1:9, it says, Jesus is light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. 1 John 4:14, it says, Jesus is the world's savior. In John 3:16, we read that God so loved the world that gave his only son, that whosoever believes on him might be saved. You see, in John 1:29, it says, Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of this world. So then definitely, Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world means, then definitely there should be a plan of God. What is the plan of God, Arya Budharan? When Jesus is going to come at the second advent, he's going to close this narrow way and open a highway. Yes, Bible speaks about three ways. The two ways Jesus spoke, but the third way is already given in the Old Testament in Isaiah 35. 8 to 10. Let us read Isaiah 35, 8, brother. Isaiah 35, 8.
And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it all, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men. The true fool shall not err therein.
A highway shall be there. You see, a way, it shall be called a way of holiness. Now, the broad way is called as way of destruction. But the highway in the thousand year reign of Christ, it is called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. You see, the wayfaring men, you see, even the fool shall not make a mistake there, it seems. Now, who is the fool in the Bible? Who is called fool in the Bible? Do you know who is a fool in the Bible? As per the Bible, who is the fool? The one who doesn't believe in God. He is a fool. Read Psalms 14:1, brother. Psalms 14:1.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God.
See, there is no God. That's what a fool thinks. There is no God at all. Gnostic. They tell people Gnostics who don't believe in God at all. But what does the Bible say? Even these fools, when they come in the resurrection in the thousand years, they won't make a mistake of not believing in God. The highway will be so clear that they will definitely believe in God. Now next, verse 9. Isaiah 35, 9, brother.
No lion shall be there, not any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there.
No lion shall be there in the highway. And no ravenous beast. You see? Then, what is the meaning of this lion? Who is this lion? We read in the Bible that lion will be there in the Christ kingdom. You know what lion will do? Isaiah 11 chapter 6 to 9. Kindly somebody read Isaiah 11 chapter 6 to 9.
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox.
What about the lion shall eat? What? Mutton, chicken? Straw. Eat what?
Straw.
Straw? See, the Bible says in 1,000 years, lion will be there. It will eat straw. Like a cow, like a calf. That means what all things were there in the first world. Oh, in the first world, all the animals and human beings were vegetarian. Similarly, in Christ's kingdom, everything will be vegetarian. But what does the Bible say? Lion also will be there. It will also eat vegetarian. So, literal lion will be there. But why does Isaiah 35:9 say that a lion shall be not there? Now, who is this lion? Who is this lion that shall not be there in the thousand-year rule of Christ? Huh? Tell me, who is our enemy? He is compared to a lion. No? Which is this lion?
Satan.
Very good. Satan. Satan shall not be there at all. Read. First Peter 5:8.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
See, our adversary is like a roaring lion. In 1,000 years, first thing Christ will do is that he shall bound Satan for 1,000 years. So, lion will not be there at all. Okay, if lion means Satan, then what is the meaning of the ravenous beast? The ravenous beast, dear brethren, or the disco, club, bar, cinema, wine store, TV, mobile, app, Facebook, Twitter, all these things is corrupting mankind as a ferocious beast consume. You see, so similarly, these things are consuming mankind. The blinding them, these things and all won't be permitted in Christ kingdom. Imagine in your Nepal, every store, provision store, there is wine. Will Christ allow when he is the prime minister? Will Christ allow when he is the president? No. He will totally shut down all these things. So this beast won't be there in Christ kingdom. But to whom will this way be? It says, it shall be for the redeemed. Huh? Now continue. Redeemed, Isaiah 35:9-10.
No lion shall be there, not any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing shall flee away.
See, the ransomed of the Lord shall return. All the people are dead, ransomed. Remember the class ransom? Jesus gave a ransom for Adam, first Adam, second Adam, ransom. I'll be sending the recording in Kathmandu when we visited, we saw no ransom for all. So Jesus has paid a ransom for all. So all the person will return from the grave. How will they return? With everlasting joy upon their head, dear brethren. You see, today if somebody dies, they'll be crying, mourning, everything. But when Christ comes, second coming, he is going to bind Satan for a period of 1,000 years and resurrected all the dead. They will be brought back to life again on this earth in the same flesh. Imagine how joy it will be. If somebody dies in somebody's house, can we comfort them? No. You give them how much our money you want. You can't satisfy them. But dear brethren, you see, if a dead person comes back to life, that is more than sufficient. This is what God is going to do in 1,000 years, dear brethren. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There won't be any tears, any sorrow at all. All the dead people will come back to life on the same earth. In the same flesh, on the same earth, they will be living. You see, this is the everlasting joy, dear brethren. Read Isaiah 29:18-24.
And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine.
You see? What happened in the thousand years? What will happen? The deaf will hear. Who is the deaf? He that has ears, let him hear. Jesus told, no, so many people had the ears, they did not hear. So many people had eyes, but could not see Jesus and recognize him. In thousand years, when Satan is bound, this eyes and ears of understanding will be opened. And those who murmured and those who did not understand doctrine, the Bible, you see, they shall understand the Bible. Now, if you tell something, what will people do? They will simply argue, they simply debate. You see, ask unnecessary questions from the Bible. What does the Bible say? Those who committed mistake now in understanding the Bible, will understand the Bible in his kingdom, dear brethren. Therefore, Jesus is given a period of 1,000 years. Why? To bring mankind from the fallen condition slowly back to Adamic perfection. Hence, 1,000 years for Jesus is given, dear brethren. Now, how is this highway prepared? You see, you might have observed in your place also, how is the roads prepared? They will first take off all the trees, take out all the boulders, clear all the mud, then make it very flat. Concrete it, put nice tar, and put banner so that everybody can travel fastly. Similarly, it is going to be the express highway in Christ's kingdom. You see, read Isaiah 62:10.
Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people.
You see? What do you say? Cast up the highway. How do you prepare the highway? Gather all the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. How do we prepare now? Take off all the stones. Make it very flat. Similarly, God tells to take off all the stones. What is the stone? This stone is not little stone. These are stones of stumbling. You see? You have now false belief. So many people have the false belief. You see? If the cat goes from this side to that side, they will tell bad omen will happen. If a crow comes and touches, you will be unclean. You see, they do all these things, no? I don't know whether they do it in your Nepal or not. Do you have some rituals like this in Nepal?
Yes.
All false belief. All misunderstanding. This is the stone of stumbling. This will be removed in Christ 1,000 years. It will be so clear that mankind should aram se clearly travel by understanding the truth. Then the banner of truth shall be lifted up. Therefore, the Bible speaks about three ways. You see, the broad way going to death, destruction. Narrow way going to life, immortal life. And the highway in Christ kingdom to eternal life. Okay? So, hope you all understood. So, I'll be sending the recording, the YouTube link also. Go through it. Any doubts, any clarification, you can ask.